Good morning, church. I hope you can say you stand redeemed this morning by the blood of the Lamb. And can I offer you something? If you step back there today and you have no idea, this altar's open today. It makes no difference if it's now, if it's at the end of the service, it's the middle of the service. The Lord is dealing with you. Please come. Please come this morning. I'm going to be over in the book of Deuteronomy, 9th chapter. If you want to turn there, I'll get there to it here in a minute. Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter. And as I read the scripture this morning, we're going to go on just a little bit about what we talked about in our teaching this morning somewhat. This, you've got to understand, the Israelites had been in the wilderness for 40 years. They had been there. A journey that has been mentioned here today should have taken anywhere from 11 days to 21 days. They were there for 40 years. It turned into that because of their unbelief. It turned into that because of rebellion. Now, they were on the banks of the Jordan River whenever Moses was saying this, and they were ready to claim the promise. They were getting ready to go over. The generation that had left Egypt, all of them had died. There was none of them left because they were not going to go over into the promised land. So we know that. There was none of that generation left. And the only ones that were left were the ones that the Lord said were going to be able to go over into the promised land. And as we read the scripture text, this is part of Moses' farewell speech to the children of Israel. He is preparing the next generation. And may I say this morning, I talk not only to my generation, but I'm talking to the next generation that is sitting here this morning. I'm telling you, you know what? No matter what has transpired in the past, no matter what, maybe our generation has failed, you know what? Your generation is the one that can accept the promise, that can take the promise. And I want you to understand that here this morning. Then he's preparing the next generation. He's telling them that even though you've been wandering around in this desert for 40 years, in this wilderness for 40 years, I'm going to tell you, this time it's for real. This time we're going over. And even though it may seem like you've been at this place before, and even though it may seem like that, you know what? You're never going to reach that promise. Can I tell you? Because you will believe, you know what? Because you believe and you will see and you will believe what your grandparents and your parents could not see. Now, I'll speak a little bit to this generation, to our generation, not only to ours, but to the younger generation. You know what? You have a chance. You know what, you think that maybe, you know what, that things aren't right and maybe things aren't just, but I'm telling you, you have that right now upon you to make things just and right in your generation. You have that. But only if you keep your eyes on God and you keep your eyes off the obstacles that's before you. That's how it's going to be. You see, the wilderness, now listen to me, the wilderness is a place where God can teach you. You understand that? I don't know what you're going through. You may be in a wilderness situation here this morning. But you know what? God's trying to teach you something. And if you love Him, God can teach you in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place that can drive you to your knees. Anybody ever been there? Been there. You can be driven to your knees in the wilderness. A place in the wilderness where you may be having a lot of tears, but can I tell you something? God can dry those tears. He can do that. Take, you know, a place where He can take all the world out of you. You know that? Do you believe that God can do that in your wilderness? I guarantee you God can take all the world out of you. He can do that. The wilderness is the place where scriptures like Ephesians 6:13 tells us this. And having done all to do, it tells us to do what? To stand. A place like the place where scripture like 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's." I don't know what wilderness you're going through today. God put this sermon upon me real early this morning. I already had it all planned out, Mary. I knew what I was going to say. Oh, no. He changed it on top of everything else we had going on. He changed it this morning. And I'm going to tell you right now, the battle's not yours. It's God's. If you're in the wilderness right now, understand this, that battle's not yours. It's God's to bring you out of it. Yes, the wilderness can be a hard place for a child of God. It can be that. I understand that. I've been there. The wilderness is a place where you can learn to fully trust God. Do you understand that? God may be having you in that place right now so you can fully trust Him for what's going on in your life. Do you know the wilderness is the place before where you was at and where you're going to? Amen? That's the wilderness. God didn't want them to stay in the wilderness. I want you to understand that. He didn't want the Israelites to stay in the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you this morning, God doesn't want you to stay in the wilderness either. He doesn't want you to stay there. You see, this younger generation has seen everything the older ones had seen and experienced. Now it was time for them to claim the promise. It was time. And Moses has to deal with one more thing before they cross the River Jordan. Something the older generation had repeated over and over and over again to them. And they were trying to understand, why have we not gone over into the promised land, Moses? If you would, stand with me and let's read the first two verses of Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And the scripture goes like this. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, and to go in and to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, and cities great and fenced up to heaven. Verse 2. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, of whom thou hast heard said. Remember that. Of whom thou hast heard said. Who can stand before the children of Anak? Who can stand before them? Moses is answering their question. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for the word. I thank you, Father, for what you give us here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for what you do for our families. I thank you for what you do for our church. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that died upon that cross. And Lord, that died for all of us. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open the message up today. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it all. And we thank you in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Here's the message this morning. The Anakims. Say it with me. Anakims. Who can stand against the Anakims? Who can stand against him? Listen, they had heard this time after time after time in 40 years. Greg, their parents and their grandparents had told them that story time after time after time. They heard it. And can I tell you this morning, who can stand against the Anakites? They're just big. They're just too strong. They're just this, they're just that. You see, Moses said this was an accusation against his generation, not the one that was going to go in and take it. His generation said, who could stand up against the Anakim? And you know what? It's what kept them out of the promised land. You know, Numbers 13:31 says this, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report in the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though that which ye have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And when we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, we were in their sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sights. Can I tell you something? I don't know what giants you are facing here this morning. You know what? God has brought you through the wilderness to face the giants. You understand that? God has brought you through what you're going through right now so you as a child of God are able to face the giants that you may have to face. You know, Moses is telling them, listen, even though you've heard it for years and years and years, these people were just too great. We couldn't go over there and defeat them. God wanted to help your parents and your grandparents to get rid of these people years ago. And you know what? They sent out 12 spies. 10 of them come back and said, we can't do it. 2 of them said they could. And guess what happened? God made him stay in the wilderness until that generation passed. And now Moses is talking to a new generation. Like I talked to the new generation here this morning. And guess what he's hearing? He's hearing, well, these Anakites, says. He said, well, what about these Anakites? What are we going to do? And you know what? They were scared. You know, lions and tigers and bears and Anakites. Oh my. That's what they were saying. That's pretty much what they were saying. God, how are we going to go over there when our parents and stuff couldn't go over there? How are we going to do that? And listen, you've heard it said, who can stand up against these people? What is being said here is was part of their vernacular. It was part of what they had heard down through the years. Part of what they had learned and heard. They had heard this time after time after time. It's a common saying. You know, my grandmother used to have common sayings. Some of them I could repeat, some of them I couldn't. I'm just being honest with you. My grandmother had common sayings. And when she met someone that she thought was stuck up, or thought was just acted like they were better than you, she had this saying, and I remember this, I wish I could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. Yeah, I remember her saying that so many times. And I remember her saying stuff like, if men was intended to fly, they'd have wings. You know, we've heard stuff like, now they had common sayings like that. And that's what this next generation of Israel was listening to. This was a common saying. Who can stand up against Anakites? Who can stand up against them? I can hear this question being asked a lot of times in their 40 years as they were wandering in the wilderness. Why don't we go into the promised land? Can you remember? Why do we not go into the promised land? And the answer always come back. Who can stand against the Anakites? Who can stand against them? These folks standing on the bank of the Jordan River were young kids once. And they were raised hearing who could stand against the Anakites. Didn't God tell Abraham, Isaac, and Moses? And Jacob, that he was going to bring us into a land that was flowing with milk and honey? Yeah, his parents would answer, yeah, he did. Then why are we not there, Anakites? That's why we're not there. Anakites, they were just too big. We couldn't stand up against them. We couldn't do it. Why didn't we fight the Anakites? Isn't God stronger than them? Isn't God stronger than them? Then they answered, who could stand up against him? And it became ingrained in their vernacular, and it became ingrained in this faithless generation. It had become embedded within, had become popular. These giants were just too big and strong. Now listen, I want to say something from a pastoral heart to everybody in here this morning. And I want you to understand this. I am concerned that we label on things to avoid not having to overcome them. We slap labels on stuff that we want to avoid when we think we can't overcome them. That's your Anakite. Do you understand that here this morning? Especially in the days that we live in. The Anakites, they're out there. They may not be what you think they are, but all of us sometimes are looking across and we see the Anakites standing there and we're thinking, how can I ever overcome that? Just because we give it a name, or we give it a diagnosis, we give it permission to stop us from becoming the person that God wants us to be. Can I have an amen? When we do that, when we slap a label on it, when we slap a diagnosis on it, we give that thing, that Anakite, the permission to keep us from doing what God wants us to do sometimes. We give that. Preacher, you preach about this or that, and you don't know what I'm going through. Absolutely, I don't. I don't. So you don't preach to me unless you walk a mile in my shoes. Well, let me tell you something. Listen to what I want you to know. God knows I've struggled. And if you're honest with me, God knows that you have struggled. You have struggled at times in your life. I've done things in my life I thought He wanted me to do, and I have failed at it. And guess what I've done, Greg? I've asked him, why did I fail at it? Why did I fail at it? I could never accuse you of struggling. I could never accuse you of what you face. I could never accuse you of your anxiety that you don't trust God. I could never accuse you that way, because that's not what this is about. But I'm concerned that you would accept anxiety as the norm in your life. It worries me that somebody would do that, that they would accept anxiety as just being something normal in their life. And you know, in today's society, it has become increasingly popular to say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that because, listen, I'm facing something in my life and you don't know, preacher, and I'm just not able to do this. Can I tell you something right now? God is able to bring you through. You're looking over at the Anakite that you're looking at, and I'm telling you here this morning, God is able to help you overcome those things. I'm not telling you to give up your drugs. I'm not telling you to give up the stuff that's helping you with this. What I'm telling you to do is, you know what? We need to read the Bible and get our minds focused on God and quit trying to label it and saying, God, I can't overcome this. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Listen, from a pastor's heart, if you're dealing with anxiety, get help, get therapy, get into the Word. Just don't say you can't stand up against the Anakite. Because I'm telling you, there is a God that says that you can. Struggling doesn't mean you have to surrender. Can I have an amen? Struggling does not mean you've got to surrender to this stuff. It does not mean it. I've been there. I know. Brother Jamie can tell you there's times in his life, you listen to his testimony sometimes. Brothers, we don't have to give in to this stuff. We serve a God. Even though we struggle, struggle's part of it. But you know what? Struggling means you're fighting your way through something. Can I have an amen? Whenever you're struggling, you're trying to fight your way through. It's whenever you quit struggling, whenever the problem is. And you're moving forward. I'm going to do this. You know what you need to say? Say, I'm going to do this for myself, for my kids, for my family. Praise God. That we are able to overcome because guess what? We are overcomers. I'm breaking free in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're breaking free in the name of Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We quote this quite often. But I want you to understand something about these scriptures. You know them very well. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know what supplication is? That's earnest, humble, desperate, heartfelt prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Do you realize in the original text, that's one verse. That's not two verses. You know why that's important? Because guess what? He's telling you what you need to do to get your mind to the place where it needs to be. Children of God, you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God and His Word to fight the Anakins that are in your life. You have been anointed by the Word and by the Holy Spirit, and you are able to fight those things that are coming upon you. Don't surrender. Don't surrender to something because you think it's big and just because you hear well, there's nothing that can be done about it and you might as well just live with it. Listen, I don't know about you, but I do not accept that here this morning. If I serve a God that is able to do above and beyond anything that I can ever think of, I don't accept that here this morning. Because we serve a God that is able to do that. Which we think that sometimes we put these labels on things. I'll just live with it the rest of my life. Can I tell you something? I don't think we have to live with it. Don't surrender. If the children of Israel had continued to believe that way, Olita, they'd have still been on the other side of Jordan, looking across, wanting to reach the promised land one day. The devil may be telling you this morning, you can never get rid of drug, alcohol, pornography, addiction. I don't know who, I may be talking to somebody here this morning and I may not. But you know what? The devil may be talking to you this morning and telling you, you know what? That you could never get rid of that. You've tried and you tried and I just cannot do that. And it's plagued your life, it's plagued your family. Maybe for decades. It will never get any better. There's nothing that can be done about it. The devil's whispering to you. Preacher, you don't understand. I have tried. Let me assure you. Let me assure you. God can. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't know about you, but Jeremy, when the Lord saved me, you know where he saved me from? From the inside out. He changed my mind. He changed my heart. The outside was the same, but praise God, he changed everything on the inside. If you're here this morning, and you know what? Things haven't changed on the inside. I'm going to tell you what. This altar's open for you this morning. Because there will be a change. There will be a change. You can beat it. You can overcome it. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't. By God's Son dying on the cross. Do you understand this morning? And the grace that has freely been given each of us. The devil will tell you, you can't not stay. You cannot stay the way, you know what? The world's got so much of a hold on you that you know what? What will happen is you think for a minute that there's no way that I could ever change anything going on in my life, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, God is able to change you. I hope everybody understands. God is able to change you this morning. Listen, remember who's in control of the message. Young people and old alike, when you hear things out there that tell you, you know, in this world out here, well, you know what, I am the way I am because I was born this way and nothing can change. Can I tell you a little secret this morning? Every one of us in here was born into sin. That's absolutely true. Every one of us. Every one of us has the opportunity to accept Jesus as our Savior. Everybody has that opportunity. And can I tell you this morning, if you don't, that's on you. But I'm here to tell you, He will convict you. He will put the Holy Spirit conviction upon you. But listen to me, if you do not accept it, that's on you. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And Jesus said this about the messenger in this world, about the devil. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You know what the world will tell you? Who can stand up against the Antichrists? Who can stand up against them? So you can... Yeah, young people, they'll say, well, no, you can't stay sexually pure today. You know what? You can't do that. You can't do it. You can't do it on your own, but within the presence of the Holy Spirit, you can do that. You can do it. Listen, God was telling them, I don't care what you've heard in the past. Listen to verse 3 of that Deuteronomy 9:1-3, and what it says here in verse 3. "Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee." God was telling them, I don't care what you've heard, I will go before you and I will destroy them quickly. Amen? We got to understand God is able to do that. Don't listen to what the world's trying to feed you. They will make you believe you cannot stand up to these things that's out there. We live in a completely upside down world. Am I understating it? We have gender confusion. We have marriage redefinition. We have a disregard for life. We have the stripping of parental rights, an erosion of religious liberties. And we have worship of the environment. And that's just a few of the things I've wrote down. And you say worship of the environment? Let me make my last point. You go to any eastern seaboard, and they have, if you hurt a sea turtle, $25,000 fine and 5 years in prison. If you hurt a sea turtle. But we have 32 states that you can get legal abortions in. You don't think that isn't environmental worship? Absolutely it is. Absolutely. You know what the Bible says about that? He said this. He said that we have people who worship the environment, the creature, more than they do the Creator. And we are living in that time and frame right now. There's nothing we can do that can stand up against the Antichrist. Yeah, well, yes, there is. So let me quote the great prophetess Mary Poppins. She said what? A teaspoon of sugar helps what? The medicine go down. That's what she said. So here's the medicine, church. Here it is. A lot of the faults, what's going on today, rides with us today as a church. A lot of what goes on today rides with us as a church. We have no one to blame for social and moral decline in America but ourselves. Do you realize there's 90 million self-prescribed evangelical Christians in America today? 90 million. Of that 90 million, 40 million don't vote. Of that 90 million, 15 million of them, they're of age, don't even register to vote. That's 55 million that don't even take process in the voting process. 55 million. You say, well, I'm not here to hear about political stuff. Well, you're going to hear it from me this morning. So just bear with me. So when we do that, we leave the whole process up to those who don't have our values. You understand that? I don't know where you stand at this morning on that, but when you do that, there's a vacuum left. And with that vacuum, guess who fills it? The ones that don't have our values. What are some of the fully comprehended? What is evil? That fills the vacuum. We can trust God to step out in faith and watch God part the Jordan River for us. When we step out in faith, can I tell you something? I believe God, and don't think for a minute, we can look around and we can look at this world, we can look at what's going on in this country and say, well, there's no use. You know what? There's just no use. What's the sense? Those Antichrists are just too big. Those people just believe what we don't believe. And there's too many of them. With God involved, much is great. There is much that can be done. I can tell you right now. There's much that can be done. We live in that kind of a day and age today where we need to step out. I'm here to say He is still God. How about you this morning? He's still God. He has never changed. I believe Deuteronomy 32:39 when it says, see now that I am He. There is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, and neither is there any that can deliver out of my hands. That's the God that we serve. You believe that this morning? You believe that? Then watch God take down the Antichrists in your life. He can do that. Praise God this morning. I hope and pray. I know that was probably all over the place a little bit this morning. But that's what happens when I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and God changing the sermon. I love all of you. And from a pastor's heart, I want you to understand this. Listen to me. You can defeat the things going on in your life through God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and God working in your life. Don't do it on your own. Don't try to do it on your own. I don't know about you, but I've failed more times than I've made it through when I did things on my own. Believe you me, I've tried. I've tried not involving God. I've tried it. It don't work. It never has for me. I'm asking you this morning, as a pastor of this church, and maybe just talking to someone that's not a member of this church, I'll talk to all of you and let you know. Listen to me. God is more than able to do what's needed to be done in your life, but you've got to be willing to turn it over to Him and fully, fully give it to Him. You ever heard the old preacher say, don't bring it to this altar, then pick it up and take it back with you? I've heard him say that more than once. And for years, you know what? I heard that and let it go off my back like water off a duck's back. Because you know what? I didn't comprehend what they were trying to get to me. And finally, it sunk in. He's able. If you don't get nothing out of this morning other than this, He's able to defeat what the enemy, the giants are in your life this morning. Blendy, let's get a song this morning, please.